Take your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I was told to be done at 11:45, but I don't start my timer until I decide to. So I just figured I would wait for a while. Even brought my phone with me this morning. No, I'm kidding. But it is good to be here in chapel. What a week last week. Wow, what a week. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad that my sins are forgiven. I hope you're in the same boat with me on that, that you're glad to have your sins forgiven and glad that you're on your way to heaven. But that doesn't mean that the Christian life is a life of ease. We've heard that preached last week, haven't we? And so the Christian life, it should be a life of great victory, a life of great success, seeing the Lord working in your life. But too often, as we're going to see in Romans chapter 7 this morning, our life ends up being a struggle rather than seeing great victory. And so I'm just tired of seeing young people get caught up in sin. I'm just tired of that. I'm tired of, even in my own life, when I was younger and things as a teenager and coming to college, I'm tired of, like Pastor Armacost mentioned, not having a life of integrity and living, kind of a double life where you're pretending to be one thing in public and a different thing in private, being a hypocrite. And I'm really tired. As I was thinking about that for weeks already, I've been thinking, what's the answer? And I'm convinced the answer is what we're looking at today in Romans chapter 8. And it's a very theological discussion here that's going on with the Apostle Paul. But it's also very, very practical. And it's interesting, as I was studying through this, he pretty much deals with the same issue in Galatians chapter 5 of walking in the Spirit. Sounds very deep, sounds kind of spooky, sounds kind of theological, but it's very, very practical. I'm convinced from the youngest teenagers in here all the way up through through the college. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We'll start there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's walking after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, or they that are walking after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, the word carnal literally means a fleshly thing, a fleshly mind, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, they that are carnal, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that lives within the saved person. Thank you, God, that the Spirit indwells me, even as I'm here right now. Lord, help us to live our lives walking after the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll convict the, some this morning. Lord, we're all sinners, but some are caught up in sin. Some are trapped in their sin. Some in their lives are constantly struggling back and forth, trying to gain victory and sliding back into defeat. Lord, I pray that you'd make each one of us to walk in the Spirit. I almost said to be able to walk. We are able to walk in the Spirit, but we don't do it. I pray that you'd convict us and challenge us with this thought this morning. In Christ's name I pray, amen. When I was growing up, there was a young man in our youth group. His name was Gary. Gary wasn't very athletic. In fact, Gary was never picked to play basketball or kickball when we were little kids, you know. Kickball was a popular sport. He was just never picked for these fun activities until right at the very end. See, the problem is Gary was a very big boy. I don't remember how much, I mean, as a little kid, I remember just thinking, this guy is huge, man. I'd never want to get, you know, I can outrun him pretty easy, but I'd never want to get in a fight with him. But there was one activity that we used to play pretty often, and Gary was always picked first. You see, we'd play tug of war. And boy, when we didn't have a big mud puddle in the middle, but we would play tug of war, and we had a big rope at Awana. We had Awana in our church. And man, we would line up, and we'd make sure that he had some good shoes on so he could get some good grip. Because there was no stopping him. He's going to lean back, and it's just going to overpower everybody else. And as I think of that, some people in their Christian life live in a constant state of tug-of-war, back and forth. And I understand when a person gets the Holy Spirit at salvation, and when, you know, quote unquote, you're filled with the Spirit, that's not something that's gonna, you know, boy, I have the Holy Spirit at 18 years old, and I'm gonna live in the power of God for the rest of my life. That's not the way it works. It's a daily thing. Paul's very clear about that. I die daily. He talks about being crucified with Christ. Constantly, Paul was submitting himself to whatever God's will was. But I do believe that once we set a goal and a habit for our lives, really, where we just live our lives daily trying to walk after the Spirit, that then the Holy Spirit, we're going to see it towards the end of the message, the Holy Spirit literally comes in there and he does the work. He leans into that rope and gives it the pull that we need for our lives to be able to succeed. And so I challenge you, as I think about this morning, listen, it's really a matter of submitting to the Holy Spirit. It's not going out and getting, I got to have the Holy Spirit. It's submitting to the Holy Spirit and letting him do the work, because he can and he will. That's the wonderful thing about it. Well, the word flesh is used in our passage. What is meant by the flesh? The carnal mind, the fleshly mind. That idea is pretty much the body, the nature of our body. That's our body likes things that are against God. Our flesh likes to go against the Lord. So we've been saved from the power of our flesh. By the way, the devil, he controlled my flesh before I was saved, and he continues to try to have influence over my flesh. And so my flesh has to be submitted to the will of God. The things that I used to like, things that I still like sometimes, I have to submit those things to the will of God. That's my flesh being submitted. Here in Romans, the book of Romans, of course, you know it's a very theological book. The first few chapters are about sin and salvation. My dad, he loves, as you heard last week, Romans chapter 3, end of chapter 3, chapter 4, being justified by faith. Man, as I think about that, Romans 3:24, I believe it is, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's written to people who have been saved out of sin. We use the Romans road. If it's explained properly, that can be a very useful tool in winning people to the Lord. So these people were saved in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. But they found out that even though they were saved, just like we are, they still struggled with the flesh. And we all continue to struggle with the flesh. Here in this passage, if you read through this Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7, you'll read the word law often. And it's not talking about just the Old Testament law. In fact, I've read that there are six different kinds of laws mentioned in the book of Romans. Let me mention not all six, but I just want to mention a few of them. First is the law of the commandments. Look at chapter 7, verse number 9. That's the Old Testament law. Romans chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." What's that? The commandments came and they pointed out my sinfulness. If you go down to verse 11 also. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment is just. Hey, the commandments of the Old Testament, the law of the Old Testament, was there to point out sin. And boy, does it do a good job. So good, in fact, that it slays us. It proves us to be guilty. It had its place. The law of the Old Testament, the ceremonial, certain parts of the law have been done away with Christ. But they definitely served their purpose for a number of years, many years, and of course still serve their purpose in pointing out our sin. So there's the law of the commandments. In chapter 7, now verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So he finds a new law. This is the law of sin in the members. Look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. We have sin in our members. This body, this is the members that it's referring to. There's sin in the members, and there's a law that says we have sin in our members. You always will have sin in your members. So today we're not talking about becoming sinless. You'll never completely succeed at defeating every sin until you get to heaven. I'm not talking about that. So because there's the law of sin in the members. Third, there's also the law of the mind. Look at verse 21 again of chapter 7. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. My mind says, hey, I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to have integrity. And then when it comes down to it, I'm still tempted. I still want to do this wrong. Look at verse 23 as well. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Listen, this law of my mind, I want to do good. I want to do right. I want to please the Lord. You know, the apostle Paul, before he was saved, he was Saul. And Saul still had an influence on Paul, didn't he? Because he always struggled. We find that here in chapter 7. He struggled back and forth because Saul had influence on Paul. Your old man will always have influence on your new man. But you got to defeat it. And that's, of course, what we're going to be looking at today. The law of the mind. And then the last one here that we'll look at is the law of the spirit. And that's the title of my message, Following the Law of the Spirit. People who say that, we live under the age of grace and not under the law anymore. They don't know their Bible. That's ignorance. Everybody still lives under a law. There's the law of the Spirit. Look at chapter 8 again now, where we already read verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Look at verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen, there is a law of the Spirit that we all live under and we should live under. And we'll see a few other things about this in a little bit. The Bible says that we're supposed to serve Christ. What is serving? Okay, that's doing. That's people who say that we live under grace alone and not under the law. What they're trying to say is they can do whatever they please. And that's simply not found in the Bible. It's definitely not found in the writings of the Apostle Paul here. So we want to look at this idea of living under the law of the Spirit. I want to first of all point out some signs that you might not be and that you're not living under the law of the Spirit. You know, it's no accident. You don't just kind of wander into it living in the Spirit. It doesn't happen by accident. In fact, let me put it this way. If you don't know that you're actively trying to live in the after the works of the Spirit, you're not. You're not. You can't live in the law of the Spirit if you're not actively trying to walk in the Spirit and doing what God says to do so. So it doesn't happen by accident. It's something that you purposely strive for. Signs you're not living under the law of the Spirit. First, when you're living under the law of sin, If you are living in sin today, purposeful, known sin, you're not walking in the Spirit. The Bible is very clear on that in chapter 6, verse 12. If you want to go back there, I'm going to stay in chapter 6 and 7 and 8 for the most part today. Chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Reign, that sounds like a king. That sounds like rule. Listen, some of you, sin rules your life. Sin rules. Look also later there that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. In verse number 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. It should not, it shall not. Why do any of us live a life where we're dominated by sin? Isn't that foolish? When we allow sin in our lives, when we allow a double life, when we have a secret sin, listen, when we have sin in our lives, it will reign, it'll choke us. It'll take away our spirituality. It'll take away our desire to serve the Lord. You know why some of you don't have a desire to serve the Lord? It's because of sin in your life. Simple as that. It chokes out the desire to serve the Lord. You're under that law of sin. You're minding the things of the flesh. Chapter 8, verse 5 said it that way, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." In Romans chapter 7, Paul uses the example of crucifixion to say what we're supposed to do to the old sin nature. You know, crucifixion isn't a pretty picture. Crucifying our sin and crucifying whatever might be in your life, that sin, is a difficult task, and it gets messy. Dealing with sin, man, it's not fun. It's a hard thing. It's embarrassing. But we have to deal with sin. Natural death frees a wife from the law of her husband. That's the example he uses. And natural or death to our sin frees us from the law of sin. We should serve in newness of spirit, the Bible tells us. So there's that law of sin. If you're controlled by sin this morning, you're not living under the law of the Spirit. That's pretty obvious. Secondly, when you're living under the law of the mind. Look at chapter 7, now verse 18. If you're just trying in your own will, in your own strength, to gain victory over sin, you're not walking in the Spirit. Look at chapter 7, verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." There's nothing good about the flesh, by the way. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing you can do. I mean, we know that Isaiah 64 says our best, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. There's nothing good in the flesh. "For in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." It's not enough simply to want to serve the Lord. Oh, I want to serve the Lord. I want to give my life to Him. No, that's not going to get it done. That's not going to get you victory over sin. Look what Paul says here, verse 19. In this struggle, I've read this I don't know how many times, and I've always thought, yeah, this is the Christian life. Verse 19, here's the Christian life. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." I said, oh yeah, that's the Christian life. Constantly struggling. You know, you read this and you just think, man, he's just being yanked back and forth. That is not the picture you get in chapter 8. That's not the picture. When you are controlled by the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be in the midst of just an unbelievable battle all the time. You're going to have victory. You know, can we appreciate wanting victory in our Christian lives? Can anybody admit that? You know, we're content to settle for this struggle, and we think that that's normal. And Paul certainly does not teach that here in chapter 8. Look at verse 20. Now, "if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." It's just a battle. Listen, This is better than living under the law of sin. But this still doesn't get it done. This kind of living doesn't produce real victory in your Christian life. Oh, I want to. Oh, I don't. Oh, I want to. Oh, I don't. Give yourself to the Spirit of God completely, and He'll grant you many more victories than defeats. Obviously, no defeats, but you won't go back and forth all the time. Living under the law of the mind. When we live under the great struggle of I would, but I don't, and I would not, but I do, we're not living under the law of the Spirit of life. Next, if you're not led by the Spirit of God, you're not walking in the Spirit. That's very clear. We find that in verse number 14 of chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Listen, I want to ask you this morning. Are you led of the Spirit of God? Are you led? Does the Holy Spirit lead you? You know, there's this, I believe, very much a misunderstanding that at a young age, we can find God's will for our life, and then we're set. You know, I found God's will. I mean, I know what God's will. I mean, God's will was for me to go to Bible college. Well, what are you going to do after you get out of Bible college? You know, I found God's will. God's will. He wants me to be a teacher. Listen, when I came to college, and I'm just one example. When I came to college, I didn't know where I was going to go. I believed God wanted me to preach. I believe He wanted me, but for years, God had me teaching school. God had me doing lots of other things that I had to be willing to follow His regular leading in my life. And I really believe this is a misunderstanding that a lot of young people, really, it's a lazy position to be in. Oh, I want to find God's will so I don't have to do anything after that. Once I find God's will, everything will take care of itself. No, it won't. Look at the example. Just to set this up, I went and looked through the life of the Apostle Paul because he wrote this. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, how did God, through the Holy Spirit, lead the Apostle Paul? And I don't have time to go into it, but let me just mention a couple of things. Acts chapter 13. God said in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Saul had been saved for about 10 years already. And now God says, I want you to go be a missionary to the Gentiles. Actually, He told him that at the beginning as well when He first saved him. But the Holy Ghost spoke out. Later on after that, we see in chapter 15, the Bible, Paul says this, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. That's the actual phrase that's used. Paul said, you know, the Holy Ghost thought it was a good idea to do this. So he was listening to the Holy Spirit. In chapter 16, then verses 6 and 7, it says he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost. That's the phrase, and I know there's other things around that. And then another phrase right from verse 7 says, but the Spirit suffered them not. How did he know that? How did he know what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do? And as I read that and as I'm thinking about that, I'm very convicted. Do I, in my daily life, just kind of sit back on my laurels and say, hey, I found God's will. I mean, I'm working here at Fairhaven. No, no. God's will is for me to speak to somebody about the Lord. God's will can be as the Spirit leads me to do certain things. And I have to daily be in tune with Him. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul means, I believe, by being led of the Spirit on a daily basis, on a regular basis. Wow, how convicting. It's convicting. We don't want to, on a regular basis, be in communion with the Holy Spirit because it takes some work. It takes dealing with sin in our own lives. It takes humility in our own lives. Very much humility. Does the Holy Spirit lead you? Does He guide you? Following the Holy Ghost didn't come without its problems, right? Anybody in here have problems? All right, hopefully you all admit that, because if you don't admit it, you got another problem, right? You better admit that. Listen, we all have problems. Did Paul the Apostle, when he followed the Holy Ghost, boy, he just had a, I mean, it was great for him. I'm right? No. I mean, the Holy Ghost led him to some pretty crazy places. I mean, into lots of real problems. Into the sea, into the Mediterranean. Whoa. The Holy Ghost said, you're going to go. I mean, you look at it. The Holy Ghost said, you're going to go to Rome. And so he did go to Rome, except he had a few little, you know, sidetracks there. Ended up in the ocean. Ended up as a prisoner and so on. Listen, it didn't come without its problems. The Holy Spirit, though, when you go through problems, will help you. Listen, some of you, you let a problem affect you so much because the Holy Spirit isn't helping you daily through those problems. Oh, this is awful. I just don't know what to do. Have you tried asking the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do? I want to get ahead of myself and I need to keep moving. Boy, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is there to help us every day. And we can turn to him to help us. And here's the point. I've got a solutions and I've got to finish up or wind this up. But the Bible says here in chapter 8 that we're supposed to follow after. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. How aware are you of the Spirit in your life? The Holy Spirit, are you aware of his presence all the time? All the time. That's how we live a life of victory over sin. I'm convinced of it. Let me give you some solutions. Go to chapter 8 now, verse 23, and I really need to hurry through this. Chapter 8, verse 23, down to the end of the verse, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, this has to do with the first fruits of the Spirit, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Go down to verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now that it is in reference back to the redemption of our body. And that's my first, how do we live in the Spirit? Let me give you some practical things of how we live in the Spirit. First, we patiently wait for the redemption of our body. We patiently wait. Oh, I'm a patient guy, right? Those of you that know me know how patient I am. Patient. We wait for the redemption. Does that mean we sit there and we wait? Oh, no. We are serving God, waiting for that redemption day. I can't wait. Think of it this way. I can't wait when I don't have to deal with this old flesh of mine anymore. I can't wait till I can be in heaven and have this body redeemed. That's exactly what it's saying. Look forward to that. Look ahead in your life, teenager. Look ahead. I know you're young. You think you got everything. Look, listen, your struggle with your flesh is always going to be there. And so look forward to the redemption of your body. And it sounds, but this is a very, to me, a very noble appeal that Paul makes. Look ahead to when your body will be fully redeemed and you won't have this struggle anymore. Look at chapter 8 now, verse 26. We find another solution, another help to living in the Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Listen, the Holy Spirit is on our side. He's on my side. He's praying for me. He's interceding for me. There's absolutely no reason for me to live in the flesh and to be defeated by the flesh. Really, this is a struggle between what I want and what God wants, and the Holy Spirit's there to help me with that. It's unbelievable. I have the Holy Spirit praying for me. Do you ask him for his help? Do you ask him? Listen, when my children, if they come to me and they need any little problem, I would be offended if they went to one of these other parents around here. I'd be offended. Hey, whoa, come here now. You can ask me. Don't go to your Sunday school teacher. Come. I want them to ask me, and we don't even go to the one who can help us through our sin problem, through our need. Do you pray to the Holy Spirit for help? Chapter 8, verse 28. Here's another thing. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen, You, if you're saved, God will not let nothing out of his will come into your life. You've been called, and if you read the passages around it, you've been foreknown, you've been ordained, you've been predestined. There's that scary word. You've been called of God, and it goes on to say you've been justified and you've been glorified. Listen, is there anything that can happen in your life that God doesn't know about? So trust him and seek after the Spirit of God to help you through your problems. Number four, wonderful thought here. Chapter 8, verse 30. And I don't have time, actually, chapter 8, verse 30. I just don't have time to read through the whole thing. Let's go, go to verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The fourth thought is this, and this is, again, a very noble thought. God's love is on our side, and he wants us to have victory. As I look through this, there's four questions that all start with who. Who? Look at verse number 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen, we're talking about being defeated in the Christian life. We're talking about having victory over sin. Who can be against us if God is for us? Oh, we have God's love on our side to give us the victory. Now, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can bring an accusation against you when you're walking in the Spirit? God's justified you. It is God that justifieth. The next question, who is he that condemneth? Listen, the answer to that is Christ already died for you. He intercedes for you. Listen, we have all of this help. It's not physical help. We're not talking on a physical level where I need to do something. I know soul winning is important. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit here and his desire, his love, and his strength he'll give you to give you victory over sin today. Another question then he asks, verse number 35, who shall separate us? Wow, nobody, nothing, life, death, nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is in the context of walking in the Spirit. Listen, folks, God's love for you is so strong, he wants you to have victory. He wants you to live a victorious Christian life instead of this constant struggle of just dealing with sin and more dealing with sin and more dealing with sin. So miserable it gets. Galatians 5:18 gives us fruits of the Spirit. I understand that wonderful passage there also. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. It's an appeal. I beg you, seek after, search after, follow after, walk after the Spirit. And again, are you aware of his existence in your life? Or have you been living your life just pretty much, you know, hey, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm not getting too many demerits. I keep my hair, if you're a guy, I keep my hair short. You know, I've been staying within the rules. No, I didn't ask you all those questions. Are you walking after the Spirit of God? Do you see real victory in your life? Man, challenging, convicting. Song says, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from earth, through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love. Last verse says, teach me to love thee as thine angels love. One holy passion filling all my frame. The baptism of the heaven-descended dove, my heart an altar, and thy love the flame. I beg of you this morning, I know there's so many things you get preached about. This is important, and they are important. But I implore you this morning to realize the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and to ask him for help and to live in his strength and in his love and in his power. I beg you to think like that this morning. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. As I said at the beginning, you're not accidentally in the power of the Spirit of God. It doesn't happen by accident. You didn't wander into it. You didn't just, hey, I think I probably am. No, that doesn't work that way. If you're not consciously, daily, trying to walk after the Spirit of God and His leading in your life, then you're not. And you need to. I need to. Boy, we all need to. And remember, it's not something that you can just get it settled when you're a young person or when you're whatever age. You can't just, it's not a one-time decision. It's a regular decision. I challenge you, every day, submit to the working, the will, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, even more importantly, I pray, God, that each one of us, each one of the teenagers and the college students, Lord, I pray that the staff, Lord, each one of us, we need to walk in your Spirit. We need to be led by you throughout our day, throughout our lives. Lord, help us in that. Help us to deal with sin this way. Lord, we sometimes think, oh, if I can just, and then we struggle and we fall back. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit, and you'll give us the victory over these sins and the flesh. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? And I know that some of you need to deal with the Lord. You've got sin in your life. You've purposed in your mind that you're going to, but you haven't submitted to the will of the Holy Spirit. You need to do that. Come on down as the invitation song is.